This button. Look at that. Now we're recording.
Do we, I don't even have the text that we used to have at the top of the thing. I'll go back and find, 516. Let's just pretend for a minute, okay?
Sure, sure.
No, even that one didn't have it. How far back do I have to go? To when we last actually had an intro. Let's see. In the archive, I'll go back to 508. Does that have an intro on it?
Please note that the following program includes adult themes and language. You're listening to the weekly show on Discourse.
Oh yeah, I'm back.
Welcome to Discourse. I'm Morgan Nickel. Big mouth dickhead from the internet.
And I'm Dylan Reeve. Not reading a script.
The funny part of that is that in 508 I called myself Morgan Avery according to this intro. So I intentionally fucked it up just for old time's sake. So we're not joined by Ben this time. And
contracted a case of death.
A case of like
death.
Other responsibilities.
Oh, okay. I was close.
Oh, God, being an adult sometimes feels like just very a long, slow death, doesn't it?
I was saying to one of my coworkers today, do you ever get to that thing? Like, it happens to me on weekend days, especially Saturday and Sunday, maybe even Friday, where I'm like, I'm sitting down in the lounge, not really doing anything, browsing Twitter or something, and I'm like, oh, man, it's really feeling it now. I should probably pop off to bed soon. I look at my watch, or not my watch, I don't wear a watch. I look at my phone, and it's like, oh, 8:27. Do you get that?
I don't think I should go to bed. I think, oh, I'm waking up and I'm on the couch.
She doesn't get that. So I feel that perhaps parenting has an impact.
Right. I go like, whoa, that very long YouTube video that I was 4 minutes into a 26-minute video, it's over.
Hmm. Yeah, it's that really long blink.
Yeah, my head is rocked back fully, and I assume I've been snoring really loud. Yeah. Wow. Oh, well, I feel really good. Really good. Often I feel like and I can never quite transition from being basically asleep in the living room to actually going to sleep in the bedroom.
That's always a tricky one.
I usually don't have, these days, I don't have very much. I used to have a lot of trouble with sleep. Like a lot of trouble with sleep. And these days I don't have that much trouble. But it's still, it's like I go to bed and then I lie there and I think, can I hear Fox breathing?
And this is being a grown-up, and more specifically in that case, a parent.
Yeah. I think it's, is it heaps easier to be a dad than a mum? Like heaps easier.
Probably. I suspect there's different experience, and I think every given dad, it has a different experience, so let's not generalize.
Yeah, can we not, if we can't generalize, I can't engage in conjecture.
You can generalize, but tread carefully.
Or should we talk about the Green Party?
Okay,
because when we spoke last time, had Materia resigned?
Absolutely not.
No, she hadn't, had she? And so that means that, like, it looks like about half of the... Oh, man, I wish Ben was here for this bit, because he's actually a Green Party member, isn't he? Or he was.
Yes,
I think he is.
And still planning to vote Green, I believe?
They texted me yesterday, and they said, Morgan, can we still count on your party vote in the election? Reply, yes, maybe, or no. And I said, maybe. And that might be overstating it.
Well, there are two things for liberal commies like you and I.
Yeah. Pinkos.
And one is that the Green Party has lost a lot of its momentum. And simultaneously, the Labour Party, which you and I, or at least I, probably supported... because I was probably supporting the Green Party because the Labour Party was disappointing, has now gained a new lease on life.
Yeah.
So I am simultaneously a little unimpressed with the Green Party and more impressed with the Labour Party. And I'm not sure which of those two things is influencing me most.
Yeah. Something that is actually... So I think naturally I'd probably be inclined to return to the Greens, but honestly, like my vote is there for them to win back. You know,
absolutely.
I'm turned off, but I was very strongly turned on. You know, because it felt like a party that had really strong principles, and that, you know, I could actually, I thought I could justify the reason that I supported them. And it was about the fact that the greatest threat to humankind is climate change. And they're the party that's most consistently talked about that and had, you know, real experts in the party on the list, expert MPs even, about climate change in New Zealand and around the world. You know, so I mercilessly ridiculed friends of mine who call themselves Blue Greens and so on for not just bloody voting green because they knew that they needed to. Now I find myself in a position where I can no longer say that, because how could I say to someone who believes in climate change but is naturally inclined for whatever reason to vote for the National Party, how can I convince them to vote for the Greens when they've been so kind of chaotic lately? Like, how do you convince someone that a party that still clearly are, you know, right with their policy is trustworthy? You know, how can you...
It's a mess. I didn't post all my reckons about this on Twitter because I was somewhere where I would have had to use my phone and I couldn't be bothered.
Yeah.
But the whole thing... Like, it's a mess of their own creation. And they took... there was a sort of a high-risk, high-reward gamble in terms of Materia's initial anecdotal discussion about her time on the DPB as a beneficiary during study. Yeah. And they got some of the reward. Like, that conversation is now happening that wasn't happening before. But, you know, the risk was there, and it came tumbling down, and in a very ugly way, like in the sense that they didn't step back when they first saw trouble and let it carry on until their hand seemed to have been forced.
So I don't think that there was I don't think that they needed to step back. I think they needed to fix their... I don't know the correct jargon. They needed to correct their messaging, their packaging of it. I think what she needed to say, and maybe I'm wrong, people will tell me. She needed to say, even though I had all of this, a lot of family support, you know, and even though I did have a benefit, even with that family support that not all women get, I still felt like it was necessary to lie in order to maximize the benefits that I got. And the reason I'm speaking out about it is because that meant that I could get through, you know, with that family support and with that higher benefit, I was able to get through. My kid was fine. Housing situation was tolerable. I was able to get the education that I wanted to get, that then led me on to being, you know, a high tax paying productive citizen. And that the reason that she's speaking out is so that women today don't feel like they need to lie, even if they don't have that family support, you know, especially if they don't have that family support. But I don't feel like that part about really acknowledging the fact that she was being supported by her extended family. I think that failing to emphasize that, and in her initial speech, she actually did mention it, but she didn't really emphasize the extent of that support, which is now It's come out that it was up to $80,000 over 4 years, $20,000 a year in support from the extended family. That's a considerable amount of money to kind of brush under the carpet.
And in doing so, it damaged her reputation and, by extension, the Greens.
That's right.
But the problem is, like, I don't think you could have made that. I don't think she could have made that admission. Because I don't think there's as much sort of willingness to, you know, to accept that. I mean, you totally, if it was just that while I was receiving a basic benefit, I also had this support, then fine. But if it was while I was receiving a basic benefit and had this support, I still chose to lie about my living circumstances in order to get more of the benefit. I feel that would have been a much harder position to defend, and obviously was.
Well, it would have been a more difficult position to defend, and that's presumably why they didn't quite emphasize the degree of family, community support, whatever.
Yeah, and in not doing so, they more or less assured
that it would go out of their control.
Because there were
people in the family who were angry. There were people in the... Look, and it's only... like, they're always quoted unnamed, right? So it could be some rando National Party or even ACT Party person, you know, who has an axe to grind.
Being quoted unnamed doesn't mean that the person is not, you know, legitimate.
That's true. But by not really front-footing that, you know, because the thing was, it's like, oh, she's being so honest, that's amazing. But the problem was that she wasn't really being totally honest.
Yeah, and every time something more had to be dragged out,
it dribbled
or was
out,
dragged
and
out.
And then that was another 2 days, and then something else would dribble out, and then that'd be another day. And it's like, okay, well, we're just talking about materia, we aren't talking about the problem, which is that, you know, there are children who are living in material deprivation, who are hungry, who are underperforming in schools because of that, who, you know, it's not about giving kids Nikes, you know, it's about giving kids that, making sure that kids and their parents as well have all of the basics, so they don't need to be concerned about that. I sort of talked about this a little bit last time about, and I didn't quite finish my thought, you know, I don't think it's actually right for beneficiaries to be really comfortable, but that's not exactly what I mean. You know, what I mean is that they shouldn't ever feel precarious. Everyone should feel secure. And I'm not totally sure what the distinction is that would exactly clarify that to what I... Yeah.
This is why a universal basic income is a better approach to this.
That's right, but that's not what we've got. So I'm
not... No, and it probably won't be unless we all vote for Gareth Morgan.
Yeah. Well, you know, it might be something that's actually inevitable. It might be something...
I think it might be at some point.
Yeah. If we had a universal basic income, then the universality of that means that, kind of by definition, the arguments around it change, I think, to some extent, about how comfortable people should be on the basic. Because there would be there would be people working and not getting any more than the basic, probably, and they should feel like they can actually live a comfortable life, but not a luxurious life, not a excessively... Yeah, anyway. I think you know what I mean. I don't feel like I've said it very elegantly.
Well, it's a hard thing to discuss in abstract terms.
And then the next thing that came along was, and I think that this was really only an aside because she didn't really take it seriously, was this talk about the electoral fraud, which was...
But to my mind, that was a bigger thing.
It was. Well, it was and it wasn't. Like, the Electoral Commission said... register yourself wherever you feel like your home is. Like, basically, they said that what she had done was probably no problem, right? But it still bothered me so much. Well, it sort of is. They said that you don't need to live in the place where you're registered.
No, they said you don't need to live there all the time. Well, there's not like a specific...
And it was her boyfriend's place.
But it wasn't the, like her ex-boyfriend. I don't think she lived there or spent significant time there.
Well, but we don't know that because this was during a period where she was engaging. She was engaging in benefit fraud for her housing supplement, so she may have been spending a bunch of days there a week.
And that was the other. That was the other side of that thing, that she's admitted to this electoral fraud thing, because otherwise it's going to turn out that she, you know, that's her cover for actually a much worse benefit fraud. But the bigger problem I have with that is she didn't come out and say, I was registered at that address because I was spending some time there and it seemed like it was, you know, it was the electorate I felt, you know, it was the place I felt most comfortable or whatever that was. She came out and said,
there was also the benefit of my friend was standing for this joke political party that I was also standing for as a joke. And
you don't even need to mention the friend. You just, like, this is the reason I was...
It is important, though, because that's another thing that could leak out. Because she did do that so she could vote for her friend standing for McGillicuddy Party, and she was also standing for McGillicuddy Party in that election. If that had gradually leaked out that, you know, she lied about where she lived or exaggerated where she lived or whatever, for this other, the secondary reason... Then, I mean, that just is another 2 days of talking about how she was, even when she was pretending to be honest and upfront and front-footing it, there was still details that she was leaving out.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
The problem I had with that...
If you're going to say, I'm here, standing up to you so bravely telling the truth, then tell the whole fucking truth.
Well, you choose what you say, but you have to know that, and especially with a thing like that, you have to know that if you... Whatever you say, people are going to dig, you know, and yeah. You don't want them to find other things because that doesn't work out well. So, you know, you've got to choose. Like, if I disclose this thing, people are going to... Because if she hadn't mentioned it, no one would ever have investigated it.
That's right. It never would have come out.
Never.
Never.
Because it's not... Unless, you know, she ended up as the Minister of Social Welfare.
Yep.
And then maybe.
And then she would have had to resign that portfolio.
Yes. But the thing I had a problem with the electorate thing is, and all the people, all my various social media people, friends and such forth on Facebook and Twitter, saying, oh, John Key did the same thing. It's like John Key never said he did it specifically to vote where he wasn't supposed to.
Yeah.
And that was the problem.
And I think it was a house that he owned.
What, John Key?
Yeah.
It was a house that he owned and according to him that he intended to live in. That's entirely plausible.
Yeah. Also,
and then
his home, let's... The other thing, he registered in Helensville or whatever, but he lived in the electorate that I'm in, which is Epsom. And it sucks being a voter in Epsom because he would have been able to vote for the National Party candidate. He'd have to vote for the ACT Party candidate. And that sucks.
But he must have because he was enrolled in Epsom later in later elections.
I wonder who he voted for. I mean, it's no one's business, but I wonder.
Rodney Hyde every time, and then the other one.
Even when he wasn't there, he wrote his name
in. Write Rodney Hyde, and the electoral people are like, we don't do Rydens.
Yeah, he's like, but I fucking love that man. The Seymour Manchild is not even a shadow on him.
No.
So anyway, the other thing that happened as a result of Materia was these people that I would say I'm actually kind of broadly, generally pretty supportive of, on Twitter. I mean, they're everywhere. They're actually living human people in our society, but I only interact with them on Twitter. And they
like
were just
in
such... Yeah, that's right. Like most people. That's, you know, as far as I know, I'm living in essentially in A Quiet Earth, the movie, but in my life. And there's simulacra around, just immediately around me. But everyone else is all gone.
Sure
they're all gone and they're being replaced by a very small script written by Elon Musk.
I think you should probably develop this further. Anyway.
So they've gone crazy. They're swearing and screaming and shouting about the media attacking this heroic woman because she's a Māori. And it's like, it's actually not true. They went after the story and it turned out that there was more story there to go after, and every time they turned over a new leaf another bug came out. They kept going after the story because there was more to it.
And that's exactly, that was my opinion as well. I hate what seems like hypocrisy to me, in that I think were the situation identical but Paula Bennett
pull your
with
benefit.
The person involved,
yeah,
those same people would have not the slightest problem with the media.
Yeah, but the thing is,
except
there
maybe that they've taken too long to find it.
And listen, you only used her as the example because there are rumors that she has engaged in basically the same thing, and maybe in worse.
I used her as an example because she was an obvious choice, but yes, also that.
And that is that, those are only allegations, and she has denied them. But I think it's probably true, right? Like, my assumption is that it's probably true because, like, women.
Well, that was
I think women felt like they had to. They had to because the levels are low. They were low, and they are low. And so I think a lot of people found themselves in this terrible position where they were getting this benefit. And I'm sure they were very grateful for it, but it just wasn't quite enough. And there was an easy way to get a little bit more, and that was by maybe saying that you didn't live with your boyfriend. Like, it probably feels like a white lie, right?
Well, and fundamentally, that was the point of Materia's initial disclosure, was that to make the point that the people who are reliant on these on this support system are being forced into a situation where they, you know, are withholding things or massaging the truth.
Yeah.
Or at least feel they're being forced into that situation.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, kind of everyone's, you know, like, I'm sure everyone, lots of people, when they get the opportunity, you know, might also, you know, be this, a bit the same with tax and things. You know, you're like, oh, yeah, that's an expense.
Yeah.
Sort of thing. Like, it's not unusual, but, you know, you have to. Yeah, well, making the choice to discuss that stuff has predictable consequences.
You've got to get it just right. It's very risky, and I don't think anyone else is going to do it anytime soon. And, you know, look, honestly, I never really knew that much about Materia, because she was kind of more the social justice side of the party, and I'm kind of more interested in the environmental stuff, frankly, because I think it's, you know... Actually, I'm interested in both, but the environmental stuff is pressing for our civilization, and the social stuff is pressing just for kids. And who cares about kids, right, Dylan?
Oh, not me.
Cares about bloody kids.
I care about two of them.
Your movie sucked, though. Yeah, 48 Hours is coming up in 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah, that's something I'm prepared for. For some reason, I was like, oh, maybe this year. Because I've sat out the last 2 years.
Yep.
I think because I was in various stages.
Making Tickled.
Yeah, various stages of producing Tickled. So it was like it was just not something I wanted to devote my energy to.
It's stressful.
But this year, I was like, yeah, I'll enroll. And now it's, what, a week and a half away.
Oh, tell me you're not going to pike.
I'm not going to pike, but I've got nothing organized to the extent that I had a DP organized, and that's fallen through. Yeah. I don't have a camera. I don't have sound gear.
It'll come together.
I don't even have an editor. I've got to edit it myself as well. It's fine.
It'll come together.
I'm sure it will. But, you know, and compared to, like, judging by previous comments, like, this is just one of my wing it years, I guess.
You don't need any more than a cell phone and one actor. And a room.
You don't need more than that, but it certainly helps.
You just think that you've got a reputation to uphold as one of the old hand teams in the competition.
No, and I just want to not feel like I am being handicapped by lack of resources. That's all.
I want to feel
like I'm being handicapped by the difficulty of the competition.
Yeah, I'm handicapped. Oh, so you're not going to do Ultra?
I haven't decided yet.
So this is for I don't even know if anyone is listening to this show, because, like,
no,
being off for so long, and then even when we were back, the Apple Podcast thing wasn't working, and I can't use the Google Play Store thing because they won't let New Zealanders load podcasts. I've got literally no idea.
I feel like someone tweeted us at some point, so at least one person must be.
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple of people that we directly know there's so few people that we know for sure are listening that we literally could just call them and tell them our thoughts.
we could individually
just phone them up.
All right, oh, cool.
Yeah, so anyway.
I'll Skype in a minute.
So half of those people probably have been on 48 hours teams with us, and the other half have probably had their own 48 hours teams in wherever around the country they are. But 48 hours is a short film competition. You're given a genre and some required elements, props and characters and lines of dialogue and other various things, and you have to make a movie between 7 p.m. on Friday and 7 p.m. on Sunday. And if you're a second late, you're disqualified. And if you leave any of the elements out, you're disqualified. And if you, and there's a bunch of other rules as well. And there's about, what, I think last year was about 600 teams or something around the country.
Yeah, something like that.
It was down a little bit because it was a bit disorganized for a while. There were changes of sponsors and that kind of stuff. And it's all over the country. There's like major centers and also little regional ones and also kind of a country one for people who submit online. And it's pretty difficult to make a good short in that amount of time. It's extremely difficult to make a good short in that amount of time. It's actually fairly difficult to make a bad short in that amount of time. There's a certain type of personality, I think, that makes it easier, and I definitely don't have it. There's like Taika Waititi has it, and I'm sure there's a bunch of other people who have a certain kind of, it's kind of a charismatic charm that they express in when they're directing and writing, and some of them maybe acting in it, and that makes it much easier to make a pretty good thing. And so, you know, I don't have that, and I think most people don't have that. But those are the only people who I think have an easy time doing it. But this year they have announced that there is this very poorly defined extra degree of difficulty, which is called Ultra 48 Ultra or Ultra 48.
One of those two things.
Which is only teams that have done it at least 5 years. So this is teams that are, they call veterans. Dylan, I think you've done it 15 years or something.
13
years. I've done it like 9 years, believe it or not. I've done it like 9 years now. Oh my God. Oh, considering I didn't even do it for a really long time when you were doing it. It's pretty amazing. So for teams that are veterans, they can opt in by email to this extra degree of difficulty, and no one is being told what the difficulty is.
And once you opt in, you can't opt out. You can't see the details of it and then go, oh, I actually have changed my mind.
That's right.
You just put in.
Once you're in, you're in. And even if you fail to do the Ultra 48 add-on bits, you're not up for even the normal 48 hours, it seems.
Yep.
It seems. So it's a massive risk to go in. Except that my team is already a winner because we won best team name. And so I got my entry fees refunded.
Nice.
And so now there's no risk.
Did Ant realize it was you when he let you win that?
I have no idea if he even saw the list of teams.
Fair enough.
I'd be really annoyed if you were out again because I changed my team name so I would be in the same heat with you guys.
Well, we're in. So,
and by the way, thanks because I won that comp because I changed my team name.
Great, I'm glad I could help. But yeah, that's a thing that's happening.
Yeah, so you're definitely in.
Yeah, yeah. No, we'll make a film. Just don't know what
make
it'll be.
Make a puppet movie, man. Make a puppet movie.
No,
make
that's
an animated
not
short. Animated short. Animated short.
No. How is
what?
That easier?
Oh, you know what the degree of difficulty could be. Could be a different, maximum running time. That could be something.
Shorter or longer?
Shorter.
Yeah, that would be difficult.
That would be great. That would be brilliant. Could just be a structure change.
So
as well. Yeah. Anyway, sorry. I'm sorry, people who don't do 48 hours. This won't be interesting for you. I apologize.
Beyond all that, though, did anything interesting happen in the US?
Martin Shkreli.
Oh, yeah.
Farmer bro, who, yeah, former and I think maybe still hedge fund owner, runner, manager, whatever, who bought a pharmaceutical company that produced a drug used by, I think, like people with HIV, and it was like an $11 pill, and then he jacked the price up to $700 per pill. And he always had a real smug look on his face. And then he bought, like, Wu-Tang Clan released a new album, and they released exactly one copy of it. and he bought it for like $2 million or something. And he was like, yeah, I'm not going to release it to people. Fuck you. I own it. I'm the only one that's going to listen to it. And then he has been convicted of securities fraud.
But apparently not much securities fraud. Like, the conviction he got was nothing compared to what he was facing.
Right. But he's still potentially going to... He's going to prison, though.
But is it, like, country club prison, or...?
I don't really care if it's country club prison, because whatever it is, it's prison.
Yep.
I think if all prison should be country club prison, except the people who should be dropped into a macerator, as we've previously discussed.
Right. And then, what else?
Should all prisons be basically like a university campus? Shouldn't that be what prisons are like?
I don't know. I didn't go to university.
But you know that that most people in prison in New Zealand, they have literacy problems, right?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. In that case, then yes.
There's a lot of, some of the key characteristics that are shared between, you know, your general recidivist prisoner in New Zealand. I mean,
you know, you can fix
education.
That.
It's and it's like violent childhood, and it's like.
Yep. Do you know how you could fix this? I know how you could fix this.
How?
You could find the parents of children when they're found to be outside at night. Or you could catch those children and send them to boot camp.
Which
either
children?
Of those will fix the problem.
But not
especially
like...
Especially if the kids are wearing hoodies.
But I wear a hoodie. What if I'm confused for a kid?
It's unlikely.
I never carry legal identification with me because all of my ID, literally all of my ID, is out of date and has the wrong name on it. And so it's probably none of it's legal.
Oh, that is troubling. This is clearly a reference to a seemingly poorly defined National Party policy about cracking down on youth crime, where youth crime means young people being out on the streets at night and sending them to boot camp.
Yeah. So what is it? It's people, if you're under 14 and you're found on the streets between 12 and 5 a.m.
Which is a really, isn't that like a really, like under 14? Like, is that the, even if we assume there's a problem with youth crime, is that the age group?
Look, I don't think so, eh? I don't think so.
Anyway, so yeah, find the parents. Which is definitely not going to work out badly.
$200.
Yeah.
If your 13-year-old is on their high school's cross-country team and they need to do their paper run starting at 6, and so they go for a run at 4:30, then you are breaking the law. Because it's not a free country, apparently.
I feel like there'd probably be some sort of... allowances for such things, but that may not be the only concern. There's this idea that perhaps if kids aren't at home, then maybe it's because home isn't the place they feel safest.
That's actually an even better point, Dylan.
And therefore, perhaps,
home might suck.
And therefore, perhaps charging those kids' parents, or fining those kids' parents, might not make home safer.
No. It means that all children sleeping rough are criminals, though, by definition, and so the National Party can be quite justified in treating them like total shit.
Well, no, it's just their right? parents.
Because today, children sleeping rough, oh, that's a terrible shame, but in the future, children sleeping rough, they're all crooks. Look, there's
well,
a
what's
law
more
on
is
the box that says
they'll
that they're
add
crooks.
To a statistic, won't they?
They're breaking the curfew, Dylan. They're breaking the curfew. Send them to Wauru.
All right. Lovely.
Or Australia.
Where they can become politicians.
Hopefully. And take the system down from the inside.
That is fucking hilarious. So I read... Did you read Section 44 of the Constitution?
No.
I'm just Googling it now because I couldn't... Hang on. This is what it says. This is what the relevant part of the Constitution says. He says, clicking on the link and hoping it loads.
Yeah.
Commonwealth of Australia Constitution, Constitution Act, Section 44, disqualification. Any person who... blah, 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 blah... I've lost it.
The party of the first part and the party of the second part and section subject section F dot three.
That is... Oh, there we go. Okay. Any person who is under any acknowledgement of allegiance, obedience, or adherence to a foreign power, or who is subject or citizen or entitled to the rights or privileges of a subject or citizen of a foreign power, etc., etc., is ineligible to be a senator or a member of the House of Representatives. So the thing that's interesting to me is, okay, you can't be allied to a foreign power, you can't have sworn any sort of allegiance to a foreign power, you can't be a subject or a citizen of a foreign power, or entitled to the rights or privileges of a subject or citizen. Which I was like, does that mean even if you're not a citizen but entitled to become a citizen?
Because Australians are entitled to a lot of the same rights as citizens if they live in New Zealand.
But not all of them.
By doing nothing.
They can't vote. But anyone whose father is a New Zealander, I think, maybe even both parents now, is entitled to be a citizen. And if, well, no, they are a citizen.
Yeah.
But other people are entitled to be citizens.
Yeah.
Even if they are not.
I'm entitled to be a citizen of England.
Well, I am too. I'm entitled to the rights and privileges of a citizenship of a citizen of England. I just have to actually apply for it.
Yeah.
So does that mean, anyway, I don't know. The whole thing's insane.
Like, Australians are fucking idiots and they don't know how to do politics right.
The point is theoretically that, you know, obviously you don't want a foreign government exerting control in your government.
I endorse that.
But that's not a very effective way of getting there.
It's not. And listen, this problem would go away if they stopped treating New Zealand like shit and they actually...
It's not just New Zealand, though. It can be any country, but New Zealand is the one that keeps cropping up.
But this latest guy is like the last in a line of like four people, starting off with there was a Green senator, and then there was like another Green,
government senators.
Yeah, what are they? Liberal Party or something, I think they're called. I think it's always been New Zealand, right? Oh, no, one was Canada.
One was Italy.
All right, that's it. And the Italian one, he just managed to get the Italians to say that he wasn't a citizen.
Yeah, I think he renounced it. He said he didn't actually apply for a citizenship. But it turns out you don't even need to apply to become a New Zealand citizen. You just need to be one.
Right. They could just say, accept New Zealand.
They could, but they could probably find another way.
Just say, accept New Zealand. And do that. Make that change. And a lot of their recent legislation, which has felt really mean, given that we treat Australians in New Zealand just about as well as we treat New Zealanders in New Zealand, and then New Zealanders in Australia are treated like just like any old fucking flotsam tumbling in out of any country, any shitty country like the US.
I mean, to be fair, I think Australia treats New Zealanders quite a lot better than they treat a lot of other people. So, you know, it's a sliding scale.
Yeah, it's relative, isn't it?
It's pretty relative.
But we talk about this special relationship. Well, we talk about the special relationship, but I think they don't give a shit anymore, right?
No, they talk about it, but only
fly an Australian flag. I think they only fly Australian flags. They never fly the New Zealand flag. They don't give a fuck. You know, it's like Aucklanders don't give a fuck about, you know, Wellington, you know, and Australians don't give a fuck about New Zealand. So it's like, okay, yeah, fair enough. But maybe if you aren't going to talk about the special relationship and being cousins or brothers or mateship or whatever, change your, like, because the conditions for New Zealanders in Australia were equitable, i.e. New Zealanders in Australia were treated the same way as Australians in New Zealand. Like the education funding and the access to benefits and all of that stuff, it was the same. But over the last 10 years or 15 years, they've just gradually made it worse and worse and worse to be a New Zealander in Australia. Like, for no apparent
reason. Well, to the point now
where
a New Zealand citizen in Australia has virtually no chance of becoming an Australian citizen. It's just about impossible.
Right. And that's really shitty.
Yeah.
Because we've got a bunch of New Zealanders who we don't want back. And we want it to be really easy for them to get Australian citizenship and stay the fuck over there and
I'm
make
pretty
the Gold
sure
Coast
Russell Crowe's
ruined.
Got Australian citizenship.
Like, just totally ruin Gold Coast and ruin Sydney with all these shitty New Zealanders who went there to do shitty fucking jobs, gold mining or whatever the fuck, you know. I want them to, it to be really easy for them to stay there forever. Because I don't want them back.
Well, good luck.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's probably not a good argument to make. Right? Yeah. So, are we doing good news, bad news? What are we doing? Are we doing...
Stuff that comes into my head.
Okay. How about an Argentinian man who was trampled to death by an elephant in Namibia? See, it sounds like a shame. And to the family of Jose Monsalvez, I'm sure it is a personal tragedy. But he was there to shoot elephants. So, oh, yeah, fuck that guy. Good news, everybody. The elephant's got one.
There's a West Auckland preacher demanding that gay people be shot.
Okay, well, I hope that the gay people form up into a massive herd and trample the fuck out of them.
Oh, that'd be good.
Yeah.
I'll just read a quote, and I want to be clear this is a quote.
Oh, he doesn't talk about gay marriage, though. He talks about...
My view on homo marriage...
Homo marriage!
...is that the Bible never mentions it, so I'm not against them getting married, Robertson says. As long as a bullet goes through their head the moment they kiss, because that's what it talks about. Not homo marriage, but homo death. What a charming man. And I read that, and I was like, that's fucking awful. That guy's a complete cock.
Logan.
And then I read
Robertson
a little bit further down the article. Other videos posted on the church's Facebook page also takes aim at Labour leader Jacinda Ardern and at women voters. I don't vote. I don't let my wife vote. I don't believe in women voting.
Let.
He said. Let your wife vote. You fuck. Anyway, so that
he's a piece of shit, eh? He's such a piece of shit.
He's a horrible piece of shit.
It's probably pretty consistent with the Bible. Aren't there rules about not letting women tell men what to do?
There are rules like about all manner of shit in the Bible, and people ignore a massive amount of them, and this guy should ignore quite a lot of
them. But he's being consistent with his book. I think if more preachers were kind of consistent...
I bet he's not being consistent with his book. I bet he's wearing mixed fabrics. That's in Leviticus too.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, good old Leviticus.
Well, that's what he's quoting as the reason for shooting the homos, as he so delightfully puts it. Speaking of cocks,
Nazis
are cocks.
Hold on now. let's not be too hasty. Maybe some Nazis are cunts.
Okay, I'll entertain that idea. Yeah. So.
Maybe there's different schools of thought on whether Nazis are good or bad. Let's ask Germany. Oh, no, they say it's only bad.
It just isn't.
Let's ask Jewish people. No, they say it's bad. Let's ask black people. No, they say it's bad.
Did you watch the Vice thing?
Let's ask the gypsies. No, I haven't yet. It came out today, I think.
It's very good. Mm. Well, that's a strange word to use to describe it, but it's very insightful in an awful way. And the thing that's fucking horrifying is that this large number of people in this particular case, so let's say, I don't know, 200 or 300, who are completely happy to stand in public and shout Sig Heil and Jews will not replace us and...
Blood and soil, blood and soil.
Blood and soil, white lives matter, white power. And they're happy to do that out in the open, in public, being photographed and filmed with their faces just there.
Yep.
And that's the ones who bothered to travel to, you know,
Charlottesville,
Virginia.
Yeah.
Like, that's fucking horrifying that these people exist and that there are enough of them to do this.
And they don't even have the shame that the KKK had to wear hoods.
Yes. At least they felt enough shame to know that they couldn't disclose their faces in public, and that was in the, like, from the 1920s onwards. Like,
yeah,
this is fuck. It's 100 years later, and these guys are happy to be out there in public.
And they're happy to be out there in public with photos taken of them and video made of them, and then they'll go ahead and assault someone as if they haven't already got really clear photos of their faces available, and then get caught on video and gradually all be identified and outed and progressively lose their jobs and, you know, start suffering the consequences of their behaviour.
Some of them will. Most of those few hundred people or whoever many attended will not. They will see no retaliation for their actions.
And bear in mind that some of... So they've got this strategy, which I've actually heard about before, which is they carry flags, Confederate flags and Nazi flags and, I don't know, maybe some American flags, and flags for, you know, their crazy, horrific little, like their 3%er organizations and stuff. And they carry them on like staves, right? Like the flagpoles are serious weapons that they...
Yeah,
and
I think big...
It's fucking smart, man. But also alongside them, you know, and in as much as, you know, the obvious intent to beat the shit out of anyone who stands up and says, hey, wait a second, you are saying a bad thing and you're a bad person, you know. But then alongside them, there are people with literal machine guns.
There are videos of what you would assume is a SWAT team or riot police or the National Guard marching into town, and it's the fucking militia.
It's the protesters.
It's the alt-right Nazi fucking militia. The thing that's amazing in the Vice documentary, and I can't remember any of the specifics, but there's a couple of points where the lead fuckwit is interviewed and makes these points that when you just, like, they're just kind of chilling in how well constructed they are, not in terms of what they're saying, but in terms of how well they understand the strategy of what they're trying to do.
Yeah.
Like, they've put serious thought into this.
Yeah.
Into how they've got to where they are and where they need to go next. And they've watched the what they would call the radical left, I suppose. Activists, you know, left-wing activists, they've watched how they've achieved things and they're mimicking it, but, you know, with their kind of twisted fuckery. And the interesting thing is, like, they go to those protests, right? And they don't immediately start beating the shit out of people who are yelling at them. What they do is they make it worse.
Yeah.
They up the ante, up the rhetoric, they wave more Nazi flags and say more Sig Heils and, you know, White Lives Matter or whatever it is they do, in a deliberate attempt to provoke those who are protesting against their hate.
Yeah.
And they know, quite reasonably, they know that people will lash out, and then that gives them all the justification they think they need.
Yeah.
It's awful.
Yeah, it is awful.
And then... just when you think that, you know, you couldn't possibly have a lower opinion of the President of the United States, he manages to make it lower.
Yeah.
He says many sides. And then you think, well, this is the lowest it can go. I
condemn violence and hate on many sides.
And you think, this is the lowest it can go. And then he comes out with another statement, which is...
Are you recording, by the way?
2 days too late. And after that, you're like, well, that was... certainly didn't make him any better. And then he says, where is it? Made additional remarks, this is on Twitter, made additional remarks on Charlottesville and realized once again that the fake news media will never be satisfied. Truly bad people. Like, fuck.
So there's this, like, how do you get this wrong? Like, if this is a test, if you're a politician and you're asked, Nazis, for or against, and you fuck up your answer, you're bad. Like, you're dumb.
And by the time he makes that statement,
you are evil.
The many, many sides statement.
Yeah.
The Heather, I can't remember her last name, that's going to annoy me.
Yeah.
The woman who was killed
was
dead. The man who had done it had been arrested.
Heather Heyer.
She was dead. The man who was driving the car, who I'm not going to name, A, because I can't remember, and B, because fuck him. Had been arrested.
Yeah.
Right? That they knew who he was. They'd arrested him. If Trump wanted to know,
and
he
hadn't been briefed. And they knew it wasn't an accident. They knew he was an actual Nazi, you know, a self-proclaimed Nazi.
And he still went out and made that statement.
Yeah.
Didn't mention the victim. It's fucked. And I don't, this is like, I have friends who think that Trump is an actual racist. And I don't, only because, well, I mean, he might be a bit of a racist. I just don't think
he is. He is a racist.
I don't think he's a Nazi alt-right racist.
I don't think he's a Nazi, but he is a racist. Because he used to have rules excluding black people from his apartment buildings, right?
Oh, absolutely. But then even that, I can think that he probably did it less because he doesn't like black people and more because he thinks it'll help him get more money from white people.
Yeah, you know, ignorant white people are his base, and they are also the kind of the population most like, you know, not all white people with bad educations are dumb right-wing Nazis, but dumb right-wing Nazis are almost all dumb white people.
Yeah,
dumb ignorant white people with shitty educations, right?
But like, I don't think he's a racist in that way. I just think
he is a racist. He is a racist.
Well, in that way,
but he's not a racist in that way. But he is a racist.
I don't think he's a white supremacist or a white nationalist. I don't think he has any particular interest.
Remember the shit he said about Mexicans? He is a racist.
Yeah, absolutely.
He said a lot of racist shit. He is definitely a racist.
The way your uncle is. Not your uncle specifically, but you know, the metaphorical uncle. I don't know your uncle. But he's a racist like that. I don't think he's a racist like a white supremacist. I don't think he imagines a white ethno state.
Yeah.
But
I remember there were men who were arrested for like an assault in Central Park, and he said, I think that they should be executed.
The Central Park Five, yes. And not then only later did he say on, that,
didn't it turn out that they were stitched up? Like they weren't even.
They were all completely exonerated. But he said, even after they were exonerated, that they still got away with it.
Right.
But no, again, I think he's just a garden variety racist.
Yeah.
I don't think he has enough actual solid beliefs in anything to be a proper racist like these guys are.
Yeah.
I don't think he's a white nationalist. But he's absolutely fucking willing to take anything he can get from them. I think he just lives in a world where the only thing he cares about is affirmation and attention. And if they are the ones giving him attention and affirmation, then he will not do anything to make them go away.
Yeah.
He's an awful person. And I'm not sure, is his presidency worse than we imagined it would be?
Yes.
I mean, he hasn't actually entered us into nuclear war yet, but that could just be a matter of time.
It's, you know, it's what I expected, but it's faster than I expected.
I don't think I expected. I think I had more faith in the ability of the system.
Yeah, the checks and balances.
Yeah, but what it turns out is that so many of those checks and balances rely on the people at the center of it kind of subscribing to them.
Yeah.
And it turns out if you're an egomaniacal fuckwit who doesn't actually care what people or the media say,
yeah,
then nothing matters.
And they say that, don't they? That's one of their things. That's the thing they try to convince us of. Nothing matters.
Nothing matters anymore.
Nothing matters. News isn't real. News is all fake. Nothing matters.
But like, this is unimaginable. You could not imagine any of the things that Trump has done. You couldn't imagine any other president getting away with them.
Yeah.
Like, none of them.
Yeah.
It's impossible to imagine.
Yeah.
A mosque was bombed in the US last week. He's not even mentioned it.
Oh, that's the other thing with this Nazi thing. So there's like these guys trying to blow stuff up. Like with
what they think is
8,000-pound van bombs. And they're literally pushing the button to detonate the thing. And it's like, holy shit, these people are serious terrorists. And the media still just talks about them being criminals.
Oh, yeah, that's bizarre, isn't it? And like, there's still so many headlines about the driver in Charlottesville, about the crash driver or the car collision. Like, it's...
If you call the guys that do the same thing in France, and I think it happened in Italy as well, If you call them terrorists, and it happened in London, yes. If you call them terrorists, then he's a terrorist.
He's absolutely a terrorist.
And you call them terrorists.
You can also argue that the whole bunch of them who descended on Charlottesville are terrorists. That, you know, they were attempting to create terror and fear.
Well, look, yeah, do you feel afraid of them? Like,
except
we're not in the same country and stuff. Like, I don't feel afraid of them because there's just not that many of them. There's a fucking lot of us and there's not that many of them.
Individually, I probably would.
Yeah.
I don't know that I could go and, like, I watched the Vice piece and there's this small woman who's the presenter.
Yeah.
Standing in the middle of this, asking them slightly difficult questions. I'm not sure I could be that person.
Journalists in general, you know, that kind of frontline journalist, they are brave people. And those Vice people in particular, they really strike me, some of them, as extremely brave, eh?
But you have to do that stuff, you're relying on a sense, you're relying on an understanding that people share a common idea about at least what is acceptable.
Yeah.
You know, so you're in that circumstance and they've invited you in, or at least they're tolerating your presence, and you feel a little bit safe because you know, that they know they're being... But at the same time, when you've got those people walking around with guns and willing to be seen in this circumstance, then that changes the dynamic.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, individually, I'm not sure. I don't think I'm afraid of them, but I'm afraid of what they can do, and at any point, anywhere, who the fuck knows what they're up to.
Yeah. And you know, if there are these two who were pretty happy to blow shit up, there's going to be others who aren't, you know, subjects of...
As incompetent.
An FBI sting operation, right?
Yeah.
They're going to be, you know, there's willing people out there. You know, and as we've seen before, you know, there is a history through the 90s, you know, particularly, and still... today, you know, this year, of these white terrorists in the States, not so many in New Zealand, thankfully, but in the States, and they really do hurt totally innocent people a lot.
And but there's terrible. The theory that the same undertones do exist here, hopefully in an even smaller scale.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I guess I'm not afraid of them. I'm afraid of what they present in that, you know, in their willingness to be this brazen.
Yeah.
Because I don't think that's good.
Yeah. There are these real marginal people everywhere, and I'm sure you're right that there are some in this country. And look, I remember in a former life running the hosting for a company that did commercial hosting in New Zealand. That I won't bother naming. We hosted a site for some of those racists, those kind of white noise, stormfront sort of people. And it was pretty gross. It was pretty gross. So those people do exist here. And every now and then, you know, too frequently, things like the Jewish cemetery is desecrated with people kicking over headstones and painting swastikas on them and painting on the walls of mosques and stuff around Auckland and probably
stuff,
there and the rest of the country. And it's,
that stuff's sort of insidious because that stuff, I think, is more likely to be carried out by your 4chan edgelords.
Yeah.
Who have been influenced by this shit. That I'm more worried about. Like, the fact that there are these people who look like they're 18 to 20 years old who are part of this, and I'm like, what the fuck?
People who really should know better.
They've been radicalized by the internet.
Yeah. By the lols.
Yeah.
Might have started off as a gag, and then it's just, oh, it's just pranks, bro. It's just pranks.
Oh, it's that thing where say something, where you're saying something you really believe, but couching it in a joke.
Yeah.
Oh, wouldn't it be funny if I stuck my finger in your ass? Ha ha. That's not a specific example.
Where'd that come from?
I don't know.
So I couldn't remember the the chapter and verse before when we were actually talking about Bible stuff and you were talking about Leviticus. There's my favorite is Luke 3:11. And I think that especially if you're talking to these prosperity people, right, you should just remember Luke 3:11. Anyone who has two shirts should share with someone who has none, and anyone who has food should share with people who are hungry. And it's like, read your fucking Bible, asshole. It's real clear. If you've got plenty, you share with people who don't. It's real clear.
I give to my church each week, and they do a lot of that, and it's not the government's place to do it for me, is the response.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, fuck your tithe, because it just builds mega churches and you get a better sound system in your...
Video systems, that's where they're at now. They've got 4K.
For your Sunday rock band.
4K multiple camera things.
It doesn't put food in bellies, does it? It doesn't put people in warm beds, you know. But read your Bible. Just don't be quite so... Do be selective, but be more... consciously, socially selective, please, when you read your bloody Bible. People who are inclined to go that way. And if you're not inclined to go that way, just always remember the golden rule. Fuck's sake. So we're meant to do bad news, good news? Bad news, good news, bad news, good news? I don't know. This isn't really a format that I thought through properly. But good news, Hekea Parata has given her valedictory speech and... she's very close to gone, so that's nice.
Okay, bad news?
I can find some bad news.
Tom Cruise hurt himself on the Mission Impossible 6 set.
Do you think that's true?
What?
Do you think it's true? Like, is it possible? Because they always talk about the big stunts he's doing, and look, it's really him doing it. Do you think it's possible that they actually set this up?
No,
to be like, look, he's doing stunts and he gets hurt because this is Tom Cruise, and don't forget Mission Impossible 5's coming.
Six.
Oh my God, really? Six?
Yeah, six.
Holy shit.
No, he totally does it. And they do, you'll notice that all of the stunts that he performs himself are performed outside the US because apparently, I'm just reporting on shit that I've seen on the internet, apparently he is notorious for not listening to the first AD, who was the person who was responsible for safety on set.
Right.
And in the US, not only is that person responsible for safety on set, they are legally responsible for safety on set.
Right.
And if he doesn't listen to them, he is actually legally in trouble.
Yeah.
So you'll see he never does stunts on his films in the US, only overseas. In this case, London. He also did stunts while he was shooting in Queenstown.
Yeah.
He does it. He's, yeah.
Oh, no, I'm not saying that I don't believe that he does his stunts. I'm saying, do you think it's possible that this was an intentional thing, this accident?
Nah, I don't think so.
No?
No, because they would have done something more, you know, I think he would have done, because if you were doing that as a stunt, as a publicity stunt, you'd do something more dramatic, like he'd crash a car. Instead of the headline being Tom Cruise hurts himself jumping from one building to another, it would be Tom Cruise miraculously walks away from car stunt failure. You'd make it more dramatic.
Yeah.
No, I just think he just hurt himself jumping from one thing to another, and now the film's standing down for, I don't know, some number of days, and all the people who are working on it won't be getting paid. So that's cool.
So I didn't know he had apparently broken two bones. Are those two like tiny little bones in his feet though or something? Are they bones that you don't really need?
Probably foot bones, yeah.
Like, it's not his femur, eh?
No, I don't think so. He was walking on it.
So it's good news, bad news.
bad news?
20,000 homes needed to stop relentless rise of homelessness.
Okay. Good news?
The good news, Wellington's oldest unpaid parking ticket overdue since, guess when?
2011.
1987. It's a $40 ticket. I think, look, at some point, you've just got to say, It's a waste of our time to even be recording this in the database.
I'm like, how? Like, I honestly find it really difficult to believe that they've managed to hold that information since 1987.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Like, through the probably three or four major systems upgrades that have happened in that time, I can't believe someone took the time to migrate that from one system to another.
Yeah. And in 1987, what was that system? It was must have been paper.
Of course it was paper. Oh, maybe not, but probably it was paper.
170,000 tickets a year. I think that's just Wellington Council.
Yeah.
It's a lot of tickets.
Okay, what's bad news again?
I guess we've probably come to the end of a show. That's bad news, isn't it? Is that bad news?
Or good news, we've come to the end of the show.
Could be both. Oh, no, I wanted to talk about Rick and Morty being back.
Oh, I don't watch that. Don't watch that rubbish, those cartoons.
All right, then I want to talk about Game of Thrones being amazing.
No, I don't watch that rubbish. Dragons and swords and shit.
Okay, well, in that case, I've been Morgan Avery.
I'm still Dylan Reeve without a script.
Thank you very much.
Seems all like right. The end of it. We should that was easy. Probably finish
hey, this. Well, that was just about bang on an hour.
Yeah, and we should finish this on this professional note and not leave this shit at the end on there.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, we shouldn't leave this on the end. Like, where it seems like a real natural spot to put the fish and chips, boop, this show's cancelled. That's where we'll put it, and then we'll cut from there.
Right, yeah.
Fish and chips, fish and chips. Sorry, and chips.
This show is cancelled. Beep.